So our sermon series about 50 days of hope is continuing. And today we are talking about serving with hope. Remember, hope is not like I hope the Astros sweep the Yankees. Wow. But our hope that we're talking about here is a confident hope that the work of God, work of Jesus has already been done and that God will in fact keep his promises. It's this expectation that things will be as God has promised. So before we get too far into today's talk, I want to talk about a little bit what it means to serve. When I say serve, what do you think? Now, you volleyball players or you tennis players, we're not talking about that kind of serve. We're talking about serving others. Now, that's what I think of when I think of serving. I think of serving others, doing things for others, trying to serve the Lord by doing things for others. When we are really serving honestly and forthrightly, we have zero expectation for anything in return. Now, we can sometimes do some things in which we are serving, but ultimately we are serving ourselves. We maybe help someone else with the idea that we'll get something in exchange, that they'll help me sometime. Or it might be that we might serve someone so that people might see me and people think, oh, what a great dude he is. That's not how we're meant to serve. And sometimes we can just do things that are selfish, that just serve ourselves, really without regard for anyone else. I'll tell you a story about my selfishness because they say confession is good for the soul. This was many, many years ago. My daughter turns 30 next week. And so my wife was pregnant with our second child. And I had an opportunity to go on a bucket list trip, to go fly fishing for bonefish in the Yucatan. Somebody was taking me as a guest. And I was like, I'm going. My wife was like, no, you're not going. I'm 7 months pregnant. And this is before satellite phones. The only way to get hold of me was by like shortwave radio. And she said, you're not going. My parents said, it's a bad idea. My dog looked at me like, you really shouldn't go. But I went. Without regard for what it was doing for anybody else. Had a great time. Caught bonefish. And I swear when I left, my dog was angry with me. My mother, my father, everybody. My sister even was angry with me. And I was never so relieved as when I got to the airport and my wife was there to pick me up. I was happy about that. But it was a really selfish act on my part. Because I did this without regard for what it was going to do with anybody else. For anybody else, to anybody else. So we can do things that are very self-serving, and sometimes they are selfish. Mostly, serving is about serving others. By serving others, we are in fact serving God. Giving of myself to help better someone's circumstances, I like it. It feels good. And the truth is, it feels good to help, to serve others. And serving can happen in the long term, right? You can serve as a Kids Hope mentor, and you're serving for a whole year. I was in the Big Brother program, and I was a big brother for... Well, I'm still his big brother, but not officially because he aged out at 18. But for 7 years, I was in the Big Brother program. Or it can be short term. It can be a one-time thing. It can be going to the food pantry and working there and distributing food. It can be a UM Army project. We can serve in all different kinds of ways. So I have shared with you that I'm such a hot mess that I don't need a life verse, I need a whole life chapter. And so today's text comes from that chapter. It's Romans 12, and I love it because it tells me how I should behave. The whole chapter really is about how we should behave and what we should do as followers of Christ. So our text comes from the 12th chapter, verses 9 through 13. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. I love this text because it tells me really what I should be about. In these five verses, Paul tells us how we should love, live, and serve. So it starts out with this idea of let love be genuine. We're supposed to love all of humanity, really. We're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to love all of those around us. The word that Paul uses here is agape love. And that's like a brotherly love. It's a love for our fellow human being. One of the very best definitions I have heard of agape love is patient and costly service to others. When Paul is telling us to let love be genuine, he's saying it should be real. We shouldn't have to fake our love of our fellow man. That we should, in fact, have this genuine love as a follower of Christ that flows out for them. And that we should be willing to love them, which for Paul means patient and costly service for others. Paul then tells us that we should love each other. And he uses the word for love, which means storge, which is like a family love. And so Paul is telling us that all of us together that make up this body of Christ, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We are part of the church universal. We are brothers and sisters with Christ, with other followers around the world. And we should treat each other with the love of a family. We should treat each other as family. We should make an effort to outdo one another in honoring each other. What does that mean, honoring? Really, what Paul is talking about is we should be humble. I mean, how many problems happen in your family or happen in our church or in life because somebody thinks they didn't get their due? Somebody thinks that they were ignored. We should be humble. We're really not do anything. There's a story about a priest that was much beloved in a town. And there was some sort of town event. And the dignitaries were walking up to the stage. And as this priest approached the stage, the crowd went wild. And they were clapping for him. But this man stepped aside and let the man beside him go first, because he assumed the clapping was for him, not for himself. That's the sort of humbleness that we should bring to our life, to our faith. Paul has told us how we should love, and now Paul tells us how we are to live. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. And in verse 9, he tells us to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Did you catch that? Rejoice. Rejoice in hope. We are to be joyful. We're to live our lives in a joyful way because of all that God has done for us. Jesus died that we might be forgiven. And that should be enough reason to live our life with joy, because the battle has been fought, it has been won, and our place in heaven is known because we are a follower of Jesus. We should rejoice in hope. But Paul recognizes that it's not all sunshine and roses for those of us that follow Jesus. We're not promised to be treated special, that we're going to be protected from bad things that happen in our life. No, Paul knows that suffering will come. And he tells us to be patient. To be patient in our sufferings, that God will make it right in the end. William Barclay, a famous author of commentaries for Scripture, says this: we are to meet adversity with triumphant courage. I like that. We are to meet adversity with triumphant courage because we know what the outcome is. No matter what happens in our life, we should approach it with a courage that we know how it ends. Paul tells us to persevere in prayer. We've talked some about this in previous sermons, that we should be praying to God all of the time. Paul tells us to pray constantly, which we really can't pray constantly, but the idea is that we should be in contact, in prayer with God all of the time, whenever we can. Take the time to pray. Doesn't have to be a big formal prayer. You don't have to get on your knees and go, "Oh, Heavenly Father." No. When we stop praying, people, we cut ourselves off from contact with the Holy Spirit. And so we are to persevere in prayer. We are to be in prayer all of our life so that we can receive the blessings and the teachings of the Holy Spirit and of God. Finally, Paul tells us how we are to serve. We are to serve with zeal and an ardent spirit. That means we're supposed to be anxious to serve and enthusiastic about serving. That's what Paul is calling us, telling us how we should serve one another, how we should serve others. We should have zeal and enthusiasm. I have to tell you, from my time as a VCI director, churches that lack zeal, that lack enthusiasm, die. To have a church that is apathetic is the kiss of death. If your church is apathetic about serving others, time is running out for you. Paul tells us we should be ardent in spirit. We should serve others with zeal. It's important that churches, the individuals of churches, are serving with zeal and enthusiasm. Churches that lack this, it kills them. And we know what Jesus says about lukewarm churches. In Revelation 3, he says to this particular church, I know your works, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish you were either hot or cold, but you are only lukewarm. And because you are lukewarm, I am about to spit you out. Brothers and sisters, I don't want Jesus to spit out my church. This Paul is telling us that we need to serve others with enthusiasm, and we need to be about that business. There is some urgency to this. Jesus is coming, or our life is going to end. Every one of these empty chairs here represents somebody in our community that does not know the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and we need to spread that word. We need to spread it with our actions. We need to spread it with the way we serve. Churches grow. Churches, the kingdom of God grows because you're excited about your church. You invite people to come and see what God is doing at your church. You tell people what God is doing in your life. If you are not serving others in some capacity, start. We need a church that is full of zeal and enthusiasm for serving others. If you want to serve, we've got all kinds of ways for you to serve. Contact me, contact Leanne. We can get you hooked up with an opportunity to serve. Or if you have an idea, if you have an idea about some new ministry that we can do where we can serve others, call me, email me, come see me. We have to be a church that is about serving others first and foremost. Because when we serve others, we are serving God. The kingdom of God needs you to get up, to rise up, to wake up, and do the work of the kingdom. I know some of you have felt it because you've shared it with me. But I can feel the Holy Spirit at work in this church. The Holy Spirit is calling us to do a new thing. We are part of a new denomination that I think that the Holy Spirit is at work in. And we need to get up. And we need to do the work of serving others. Paul tells us to contribute to the saints, to the needs of the saints, and provide hospitality to strangers. That means that we are to give of ourselves, we're to give financially of ourselves to others, and we're to give of our whole self to others. My brothers and sisters, it is time for us to wake up, get up, and be about the kingdom's business. We need to do it for the sake of the kingdom of God. There is some urgency because every one of these empty seats is somebody who does not know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And it's our job, our commitment to Christ, to share the good news with all that we meet in our community. We need to get busy. We need to get busy serving others in patient and costly service. Let us pray. Gracious God, forgive us where we have fallen short. Help us to get up and go out into the community and to serve others in ways that you will direct us, in ways that your Holy Spirit will make known to us. Father, we are so grateful for the hope that we have in you, for all that the work that you have done, and for your promises that will be kept. Help us to go forth from this place. We pray this in Jesus' holy name.
Amen.